Welcome to the RodeoKids.com podcast. I'm your host, Camry Widmer. No matter what obstacle or situation you are in, just keep moving, says Jeremiah 60:22. Today, I want to take some time to talk to you about the concept of just keep moving and the experience that I had when I decided to learn how to tie goats right before I got into high school. So I grew up in a rodeo family. My parents both rodeoed. My mom was a professional barrel racer. My dad was a professional team roper, and they worked for a rodeo company. My first rodeo was when I was 5 days old. So I have been involved in the rodeo world my entire life. Whether I wanted to or not, I was going to rodeos. When I was little, I got to run my mom's old retired professional barrel horse. So I was kicking butt in the peewees. I did good. You know, I had all the tools to be successful at a young age, but my heart just wasn't in it. I just didn't love it. And it broke my parents' heart, but they knew that if they pushed me, then they were going to regret that and I might not ever come around to rodeo. So they stayed back. If I wanted to go someplace, you know, they made sure that it happened. They made me work for it still. They didn't just hand over the reins and keep my horses in shape all the time. But if I decided that I was interested in going to some barrel races, to tell my mom beforehand, and she would say, well, go ride your horse, and I'd do that. But even when I'd go, if I do well, I still just didn't love it. So they didn't push me. But then I got into junior high, and I was playing a bunch of sports. I played basketball, ran track, and played volleyball. I got involved in the girl drama and the boys and the hormones, and I just wasn't really that happy, and I wasn't having a whole lot of fun. So summer right before I went into high school, I decided that I was going to go with my dad to some rodeos. After going to a couple of them, I was really having fun, so I kept going. I was meeting more kids my age. I have a couple of uncles that are super fun and aunts that also rodeo. So we were packed in there like sardines going all over the Midwest to these rodeos, and I was having a blast. So after a little bit of contemplation, I decided that I wanted a high school rodeo, and my parents were ecstatic. It wasn't something that they saw coming. I hadn't shown much interest before that, so they were super pumped when I told them that I was going to rodeo, and they told me that'd be fine, but my dad had one stipulation. He said, if we're going to haul you all over to all these rodeos in Iowa and maybe, you know, to the high school finals and wherever we have to go, then you're not just going to be a barrel racer. You're going to have to do more than that. Not that just running barrels is a bad thing at all. My dad just has the perception that if we're going to haul all over the state and spend the diesel fuel and the entry fee for one event, we might as well spend a little bit more to learn something else and enjoy. And who knows what'll come out of another event. You know, if I would have just been a barrel racer, I wouldn't be a team roper, a breakaway roper, and I wouldn't put on clinics and camps and do all the stuff that I do now. So, you know, I'm really thankful that he pushed me to do more. So I agreed to run poles. And I also agreed that I would start tying goats. I kind of knew how to rope. I mean, I could swing a rope. I roped a bucket and the dummy a little bit here and there, but I wasn't real confident about learning how to rope off of a horse yet. But I did feel like I could learn how to tie goats, and it sounded kind of fun. I had a lot of work to do in a short amount of time just so that I could even get a goat tied. You know, I didn't even own a string at this point in time. We got a string, we got a goat tying dummy, and we went to some friends, the Roselands, and they had some kids that were high school rodeoing around my age and learned how to tie goats. I really enjoyed it, and it was super fun. So, you know, we were just going with the flow, learning what we could. When I started entering high school rodeos, the first year, it was pretty much pressure free. Yeah, I wanted to do good, but I knew that there were other kids who had worked at it a lot harder than I had at the time. I knew that they had more experience because they'd gone to more youth rodeos than I had, because my heart just hadn't been in it before. But I also knew that I had some talent and some skill and that I wanted to. So my freshman year, I only had like 3 points the entire year. So it wasn't a very good year, but it was low pressure. I was making a lot of friends. I was learning new things, and I was getting a little bit better all the time. By the time my sophomore year rolled around, I was really starting to figure it out. I'd gotten to where I placed in the top 15 in the year end. I made it to the short go in the goat tying. And after one rodeo in Carson, Iowa, I placed in like the top 5, I think, in the goat tying. Dad looked at me and he said, Cam, he said, I hate to break it to you, but I think goat tying just might be your best event right now. And my dad was right. So after that, you know, things continued to get better. I kept going to lessons, kept going to clinics, you know, doing everything I could to to continue improving and practicing a bunch. And I fortunately had some neighbors down the road who raised show goats, and they let me trade them out every 3 weeks to a month, however often I wanted to. They said that tying the goats helped break them to lead and strengthen their back muscles and their leg muscles, and it just made them better show goats. So I was trading those out fairly often so that I had fresh goats to tie, and I was practicing a bunch and felt pretty confident. And I decided to set a goal to try to make it to the National High School Rodeo Finals my junior year.
The first rodeo had rolled around. Again, I'd been practicing, I'd been going to clinics. You know, I went in there thinking, I can do this. And I could. I went in and I won both the first rodeos and was on cloud nine. I knew that there was still a long season ahead of me, but I thought, I just won the first two rodeos. I can do this. I'm just as good as these other girls. What I didn't know is the humbling, frustrating, and educational experience that was about to set in and teach me how to just keep moving. After the first two wins, things went to shambles. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. I fell on my face, I fell on my butt, goats got up, strange things that I couldn't explain happened. One time I got off my horse and ran to the goat and my feet slipped out from underneath of me or something. Even in the video, it just didn't make sense. I ended up with the goat with my legs straight out on my butt, the goat standing on top of me looking at me like, "What are you doing down there, woman? You're supposed to be tying me, not sitting underneath of me." I was so frustrated. I was discouraged. It seemed like any time that something went wrong, I was struggling to keep moving forward with the rest of my run. I would bobble a flank and then everything else would just not work out. I knew I had the physical ability, the horsepower, and I knew that I'd put in the time. You know, I'd done good at the first two rodeos, so why could I not put it together again? Finally, it was time for a break in the season. I knew I had a lot of practice ahead of me. Luckily, I was very fortunate, and my parents had just built an indoor arena that fall. So I decided not to go out for basketball that winter so that I could practice tying goats. That was a sacrifice I had to make, and sometimes I think we forget, you know, with so many activities these days, I feel like it's important to prioritize what your goals are. You know, for me, my goal was to make it to the high school finals. While I liked basketball, I was a starter, I enjoyed my team, it kept me in shape. It wasn't my number one priority, so I had to sacrifice that to accomplish another goal. I see a lot of kids and hear a lot of kids say, "Man, I wish that I could get to that next level," but they aren't willing to sacrifice anything else. And I'm not saying that, you know, you can't do multiple things at once, but you do have to make priorities and you do have to make sacrifices to accomplish your goals, no matter what they are. You might have to sacrifice rodeo to be the best basketball player, or vice versa. It just depends on what your heart is, but don't be afraid to make those kinds of decisions. So they had this indoor arena. I wasn't playing basketball, and I was just practicing, but it still just didn't quite seem to be coming together. I knew it was mental. My mom had given me the book called The Inner Game of Tennis by Timothy Galloway, and as I read it, I came across this quote: "The ability to focus the mind is the ability to not let it run away with you. It does not mean to not think, but to be the one who directs your own thinking." After reading this, I realized that I had been so focused on making it to the high school finals at the end of the year that I was not concentrating on my individual runs and what I needed to do for each run and on the things that I could control to get to that next level.
My professional goat holder, aka my mom,
suggested that we start practicing scenarios to help me focus on the things that I had control of and keep moving through my struggles one run at a time. Our scenarios consisted of a series of questions to set up the run. So she would ask me things like what rodeo I was at, how the arena was set up, what the temperature was, you know, was it hot, was it cold, what were the arena conditions, was it muddy, was it dry, was it sticky, was it hard, what kind of goat did I draw, did he go left, did he go right, did he set back, what number I was, first, third, 30th, you know, and what the winning time was, how my horse was acting, anything she could think of. She'd ask me all these questions. So I would close my eyes, I would visualize the arena, the setup. Even if I didn't know it, I would pretend like what I think it's going to be like and what I think my goat's going to do and what draw I think I'm going to get. So I'd visualize that scenario, and then I'd take a big deep breath and I'd go make the run. when I first started, my mind would run a million miles a minute trying to get through these runs. You know, I was trying to put myself in these situations and thinking about all this stuff. And I knew, like, I just wanted to win. I just wanted to make it to the high school finals. Sometimes it would work, but more often than not, I was still struggling to get through my bobbles and get through a run consistently. I was getting frustrating and making mistakes. But I knew if I couldn't get through a pretend scenario in the comfort zone of my own practice pen, I definitely wasn't going to get over my mistakes that I was making in the competition run. When everything would go wrong, my mom started to yell in a persuasive but sometimes get it together tone, "Just keep moving." Because she knew I had to learn how to push myself mentally and physically through all these bobbles that I would have. If I misflanked, then I still could have a good gather and a good tie and make up plenty of time as long as I just kept moving. Just because one thing went wrong didn't mean I couldn't make up for it and still place. While doing these scenarios, they were competition type runs. I didn't ever slow down my feet, but I slowed down my mind. I might have to take it through one step at a time and say, okay, I'd run fast to the goat, drop my butt, and then I would say flank, then I would flank, and then I would say gather, and then I would say tie, one thing at a time. I would slow it down mentally, one step at a time, even though my body was still moving just as fast. So I was learning how to control the situation and stay focused on each individual aspect of it. While I was learning how to do all this, and we were going through all these scenarios and all sorts of weather conditions, yes, we had an indoor arena, no, it wasn't heated, and I lived in Iowa, so it was still cold. You know, it was sometimes it was 5 degrees outside. I had found some baseball gloves that, you know, they were leather on the outside, so they felt kind of like your skin did, so I could still tie goats and have enough grip to pull my string tight. So I would put those gloves on until my hands warmed up and my blood got flowing. Then I would take them off and just use my hands. But that's how I stayed warm and made sure that I could still practice even when it was cold. And God bless my mom and dad. They came out, they held goats for me as much as I needed to. You know, they watched my runs, they made suggestions, and without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. So big shout out to them. But during these scenarios, you know, I wasn't just making good runs on easy goats. My mom wasn't just holding the goat straight every time. She was pushing it right, pushing it left. You know, I practiced flanking from my knees. I'd pretend to fall down and have to army crawl to the goat, or I'd do a somersault, or whatever we could think of that could go wrong. We were practicing what would go wrong and how to keep pushing through each scenario, each bobble, quickly, smoothly, and preparing for everything that I thought could come my way. When the spring season came around, I was feeling more confident than I ever had. Even after those first two rodeos, I was probably more confident than that. The first rodeo back was in Waterloo, Iowa. It was cold and it was snowing. It was one of the nastiest rodeos to this day that I've been to. But I knew that since I'd been practicing outside where it was cold, that I could get through it. I had my little baseball gloves with me. I knew it was going to be cold that weekend. So I was warming up, making sure to do a lot of get-offs. I had a long trot where I personally was like making myself stride out too after I got off, stretching. And I had my string inside of my shirt so that it was nice and warm and my rosin stayed warm. And, you know, I was doing everything that I could to prepare myself for this run. I was staying focused. I was taking deep breaths. I was just telling myself, slow down and make your run. Be smooth. I'd been to this rodeo already and practiced 100 different scenarios at this exact rodeo in my practice pen at home. So I was confident that I could get there and go make a good run. My horse flew down there. I got off. I even fell down on one knee at the goat, but I didn't let it slow me down physically. I kept moving. I flanked from my knees and made sure to take in the process. I lowered my energy. I said, okay, just flank, gather, tie. So it didn't slow me down at all. And I was a 7-9, and I was winning the rodeo by a second and a half. For a second. In all the practice and the hard work that I'd put in mentally and physically and everything that I'd gotten through that winter, I had gotten into a habit of getting up off the goat and then going right back down and letting him up, loosening up my string and letting the goat up before I ever stepped away. So the goat was tied tight. He was going to stay. I was going to win the rodeo by a second and a half, but I had created a habit and muscle memory kicked in, and I went right back down and touched my string before the 6 seconds. The judge looked at me and I looked at him and I just thought, ugh, oh no. You know, this wave of just disappointment in myself just came over me, and he had to disqualify me. You know, he just had to. So I promised myself that day that I would never, ever do that again in the practice pen or competition. But with that run and going down to my knees and still flanking and still being a 7.9, which was really fast for me at that point in time, I knew that I had the skills, I knew I had the ability, and I kept my confidence and I placed the next day and broke the streak of not placing for 8 rodeos in a row. After that, I placed at every rodeo for the rest of the season. I took it one run at a time and I focused only on what I could control, and I just kept moving through every obstacle that came my way. If I had a little bobble, I just kept moving. While the goal was still to make it to the high school finals, all I could do was put in the time in the practice pen and make my run every time. If I did or didn't make it at that point in time wasn't in my hands. It was up to God. It came down to the last run at the state finals to determine if I would make it to the national finals or not. I went out and I made the very best run I could make. I ended up third in the state and secured a spot to the high school finals. I'd done it. At the finals, I took one run at a time again. I focused on slowing down my mind and remembered to just keep moving and be smooth. I placed in the top 4 in the first round, the top 10 in the second round, which got me to the short go, where I placed again and ended up 5th in the nation. That was such a huge accomplishment for me, considering everything that I'd gone through and all the struggles that I had, everything that had gone wrong. I learned that as long as I just kept moving, I could make it to the top. Learning how to just keep moving has affected my life in so many ways, more than just tying goats. You know, let these lessons that we learn in competition seep into our everyday lives as we grow up. And sometimes as an adult, you know, even talking about this again, I'm 28 years old now, so this is, you know, more than 10 years ago. I'm starting to feel old, but, you know, it's a good reminder for me where I'm at in my life at 28 that while I'm learning new things and trying new things and all these new exciting experiences are coming my way that sometimes are really frustrating and feel like I'm not going to get through, that it is going to work out and we will be on top again, just like we were in the goat tying. As long as I keep moving, keep going forward, it's all going to be okay and it's all going to work out. Stay focused on completing one task at a time. Don't let the things that are out of your control get in your head. You know, just keep moving. It is important to note that every question that I asked in the scenarios are completely out of our control. You know, the weather, the arena setup, the draw, whoever's the winning time before you go, none of that is in our control. But when we're practicing and working on our mental game, we have to prepare ourselves for these situations mentally so that we learn how to block them out and focus only on what's important and what's in our control. This applies to all events, whether you're roping, tying goats, running barrels, working cow horses, or whatever it may be. Make sure that you stay focused, because it's so easy to get caught up in the little things and forget to keep moving to the next step. You can still win even if you make a bobble here and there, and you can still reach your goals even if you go through a spell where things never seem to go right, but they will. It will all turn around. I wish everybody the best of luck, and if you have a story that you would like to share with us at rodeokids.com, please send it in. If we can help you in any way, if you're struggling, if you need some advice, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can email us at info@rodeokids.com or give us a call, text message at 641-799-5042. Good luck down the road.
This RodeoKids.com podcast was brought to you by JD Bits. If you're looking for a custom bit for your barrel horse or rope horse, I highly recommend talking to JD Morrow. He's a great guy and can help you with anything. You can find him and his contact information at www.jdbits.com.